Takeout AI and the state of the tech economy is not so great. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. More than 250,000 people working in the tech industry were laid off last year. And some CEOs have pretty pointedly laid at least some of the blame on higher interest rates. To beat back inflation these last two or so years, Fed policymakers have hiked rates at the fastest pace in modern history. And when rates rise, borrowing money gets more expensive. I sat down with San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly at a conference in Portland, Oregon, and asked her how she thinks the tech industry is braving this higher interest rate world. But first, it's been almost 1 year since the fall of Silicon Valley Bank. SVB operated in Daly's district, which spans 9 western states. The San Francisco Fed came under scrutiny after SVB's failure. Daly has said in the past she herself didn't have a supervisory role. There is a vice chair for supervision for the whole Federal Reserve System. I asked her about the role her regional bank played in monitoring SVB leading up to its collapse.
When you go back to think about how did that happen, then naturally people ask, well, who was participating in monitoring Silicon Valley Bank? And the important thing that was really missed or is really missed oftentimes is that we have a very complicated set of governance in regulatory and supervisory policy. But the Board of Governors is the place where regulatory policy is made and supervisory policy is made. Our teams in reserve banks, which I'm responsible for the San Francisco team, they report on their supervisory work to the Board of Governors. My job as a reserve bank president is to ensure that I have the right number of staff and that the staff are doing what the Board of Governors has asked them to do. That is really the limit in its current form of how reserve bank presidents participate in the supervisory work. Mm-hmm. What I think the big lesson that comes out of the failure of Silicon Valley Bank is we can do more.
Yeah. Well, should there be more responsibility given to someone in your role?
It's a really good question to ask. Here's what we are looking across over the continuum as a system. You essentially want to ensure that you have a central place where the decisions are made. That is the Board of Governors. And the reason for that is you don't want a bank in Arkansas to be treated differently than a bank in California. You don't want different supervisory programs, different regulatory programs. That is actually not good for banking. So you want homogeneity across there, both in the framework that is applied and the treatment that is given. So that's a strength of the system as we have it now. But the lesson that comes out of Silicon Valley Bank and in general banking conversations we have with bankers and communities is that reserve bank presidents are on the ground. We are there talking to banks, talking to bankers, talking to the communities that banks serve, and we could bring more information back to the Board of Governors in a way that is really more formal. So I think that one of the big lessons I take away is this is something we can change. We have an opportunity to get more involvement from reserve bank presidents, something that was not part of the portfolio that I had or any reserve bank president really has, but that's an opportunity missed.
And what's something that you now know that you wish you had known then?
We didn't know that uninsured deposits were so vulnerable to fleeting. And if we had known that, then we would have had more thoughtfulness put forward to liquidity provisioning. Mm-hmm. Because if you think that your uninsured deposits are as sticky or close to as sticky as your insured deposits, then you could have different ideas about how much liquidity provision you need than if you think when the bank gets under stress or even when other banks get under stress, depositors are going to look at that and say, I'm leaving and I'm going to go elsewhere. Well, that really means that capital is not the only thing in the conversation. Liquidity is also in the conversation. And the speed at which SVB collapsed, it was really a bank run. And a bank run is hard to stop once it starts. The speed of it was accelerated by the fact that people can move their money easily. And the minute they got spooked, they did. More work needs to be done, really, to just shore this up. It's something that a dynamic economy is just going to give us more of, and we have to be prepared.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. In my conversation with Mary Daly, president of the San Francisco Fed, I asked her about the state of the tech economy, which has been hit with a lot of layoffs this past year.
I think there's a difference in what's the delta, what I call the delta or the change in tech's fortunes from where they expected to be, this rapid growth that was really boosted by the pandemic, to where they are now, which is good growth. And that change and where the level is, it's still a thriving industry, tech. There's so many new companies, new developments, so many people employed in that sector. It is a thriving sector. But it's not growing as quickly as it once was. And companies that really ramped up as if that growth rate was going to be continuously going up are having to make adjustments, which is resulting in layoffs.
You just used the phrase good growth, which implies that what we were seeing before was not good growth, was overhyped, overheated.
I wouldn't use those words, but here's the word I would use. It was not sustainable. It was many companies, and I've seen this, I started at the Fed in 1996. I've seen many cycles on tech. Here's something you notice in tech is that there's a lot of enthusiasm. People bet on that enthusiasm and put as many good ideas out there as possible and then see what lives. That's easy to do when there's a lot of resources and a lot of enthusiasm and the economy's not slowing and interest rates aren't high. But as the interest rates adjust and the economy slows, then investors in tech or anything else, but in tech in particular, they start to say, well, what's your rate of return on that? Mm-hmm. When are you going to be profitable? And there's just this natural disciplining device that comes in. And it means that companies start tightening to the bottom line. They start asking questions about how much basic research can we do on something? What is our first and most important work? The thing that's interesting is this is how business always operates. If you're a steel manufacturer or a furniture maker or a restaurant, you always do this. In tech, there are these cycles, but not many people in tech are as experienced at how they feel as they are in steel.
So would you say overall we are in a healthier place now than we might have been 4 years ago, 5 years ago?
I'd say more sustainable place.
More sustainable.
You know, what I hear when I talk to tech leaders and tech investors is that they really are looking for rates of return. They're looking for first and best uses of their resources and where can they put things that, you know, make a contribution to the economy, but also earn them a profit. And they're hiring workforces that are aligned with the goals that they have in mind. So they are not doing as many things. They're doing the things they do better.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the human impact of this, of interest rates rising. I think it was somewhere on the order of 250,000 tech workers lost their jobs last year. And I wanted to bring up a specific example, which was Spotify. So they had three rounds of layoffs last year. The last one was in December. 1,500 people were let go. And the CEO, Daniel Ek, he sent this letter out. And one of the things he said was capital has become more expensive. So what he's saying there is interest rates rising as fast as they are is making it harder for him to run his business and keep people employed. And they were caught off guard.
That's how monetary policy actually works. Now, it's a hard aspect of the tool we have at the Federal Reserve, but the way it works is supply and demand are out of balance. Inflation rises. We raise interest rates. That transmits into lending costs, borrowing costs. And what you end up with is an economy where projects that were once profitable when interest rates were near zero are no longer profitable when interest rates are over 5. That is how we slow the economy so that the demand and the supply come back into balance and inflation comes down. That is a normal way that an economy works. It's a normal way that fighting inflation works. It's an experience that commercial real estate, I mentioned steel, other businesses have gone through. The tech sector has historically been a little more insulated from interest rate changes, and they've been more insulated from the fact that they're now an aged industry. I see the tech sector is going through a natural maturity cycle. Right. If you look 30 years ago and 20 years ago and 10 years ago, it's this burgeoning upstart sector and it's growing, growing, growing. Every year is better than the last. Now it's really a maturing industry. Mm-hmm. And some of the big stalwarts of tech are now companies that look like the big industrials.
Are you saying the tech bros have grown up? Is that what I'm hearing?
What I'm saying is that it's a natural progression of an industry. It starts as an upstart, starts as nascent. It builds itself. It grows. It has rapid growth in its early decades. And then it gets to a point where it operates like other companies, where bottom lines matter, where you have to make strategic trade-offs, and where your, you know, sensitivities to the economy and the interest rates grow, and you start thinking about how do I sustain this business in the long run?
Yeah.
But it's very different than saying the tech sector is in a crisis, or the tech sector is in, you know, challenging waters. The tech sector is in transitional waters.
Well, it's interesting to hear you say this, because when you look at AI and that subsector of tech, it can feel like there's some of that same dot-com exuberance.
The tech enthusiasts have moved to AI.
Yeah.
And I think that's a healthy thing, right? You need early stages in sectors. So tech is a big thing. Tech is a really simple word for a big set of sectors. You can have search, you can have, you know, all the things we think about with technology, computer networks, chips. You can also have these new industries like AI. That's been around for a long time. But Gen AI, generative AI, is, of course, something brand new.
Right.
Brand new to most people, even though it's the elements of it have been in the works for a while. Those are all creating enthusiasm, but the enthusiasm is quickly being followed in the generative AI with use cases that make people's lives and work better and easier. So that's the thing that I'm watching personally is this more than tech enthusiasts? Are we seeing it actually being used in businesses and in communities to make work better, more effective, more efficient, and perhaps even start to do different things than they ever imagined? So that's where the growth comes from.
That was Mary Daly, president of the San Francisco Fed. The San Francisco Fed recently launched the Emerging Tech Economic Research Network. It'll house research on how new tech developments, and yeah, generative AI is the big one, will affect financial institutions, payment systems, even monetary policy. The goal is to study this stuff while these technologies are still up and coming. This week also marks the launch of Daly's own podcast, featuring her interviews with citizens in her district. It's called Zip Code Economies. You can find links on our website, marketplacetech.org. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. I'm Lily Jamali, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.